It's the Rise and Shout podcast presented by The Deseret News. I am your host, Adam Mangum. In episode 278, Matt and I break down the NFL draft from a BYU perspective. Did the Cougar rookies land in good places? Who will make NFL rosters this season? We also take a look forward with our crystal ball into the future of the 2018 NFL draft and what BYU players might hear their names called. And with some of the men's basketball news trickling through, we look at the puzzle pieces coming together for the 2017-2018 men's basketball roster. This is the Rise and Shout podcast, presented by the Deseret News. Find us on iTunes, find us on Facebook at facebook.com/riseandshout, and listen to us right now. Welcome back to the show, buddy. NFL draft. Good to be here. NFL draft came and went. Was here and then it left, and we're going to talk about that for sure, like a lot about the draft.
Do I get to boo Goodell again?
Oh yes. Here, no, I'll save it for the draft. We'll get too caught up in it if I start now. So, but yes, you will get to boo Goodell. You'll get to boo Goodell. But before we start the regular part of the show, Matt, we have three tweet bag questions that we should answer here in the opening minutes of the podcast. All right. So the first one is from Twitter. That's Sean Larson at Sean Larson 03. Now that the Yankees swept the Red Sox in Boston, will Matt/Adam, because we are one apparently, finally be ready to admit the Yankees are better than the Red Sox? Never. That didn't even make sense.
Sean, you've been voted off the island.
The past 15 years, who's won the most championships?
Here, I'll give
you
a
hint. Who made the postseason last?
Also not the Yankees.
Who isn't the Yankees?
Oh, also not the Yankees.
That's right. Just kidding, Sean. You're not, well, you kind of are voted off the island. But he likes the Jazz and BYU, so that's good, right?
Just funny is, like, I was a big Jazz fan growing up.
Yeah,
you know, this is documented. We grew up in Massachusetts, but I was a big Jazz fan. But then I fell out of love with the NBA somewhere along the way, and I'd like to get back on that Jazz bandwagon, but I just can't. I can't get into it. I don't know what's wrong with me. Is there something wrong with me?
The NBA's fun now, man. Yes, there's something wrong with you. Get back into the NBA. It's actually kind of amazing. So get back into the NBA. There's some good playoff games going on. Matt, Gary Payne, that's at FastBreakGP on Twitter. Which happens first, Scott Sterling playing professional soccer or Jake Heaps actually playing for the Seattle Seahawks? Hashtag Painbag, hashtag Tweetbag. Matt, I would say Jake Heaps, but only by the slimmest of margins. Scott Sterling shows some major skills.
Well, it depends on your definition of playing a professional soccer versus playing for the Seahawks, right?
I think Heaps could be their backup quarterback this year. I think not likely, but I mean, I think he's being brought in by the Seahawks. They just announced they're bringing him in.
They need another body for camp.
Yeah, they're going to, you know, he's going to run the scout team. He's familiar with the system because he was with them last year. But right now, I mean, they just kind of go in with Russell Wilson as the guy, right? So yeah. I wouldn't be shocked if he was on the roster, but I'm not going to, I would say I would not anticipate it. And I believe Scott Sterling may have, may being looked at by a couple of MLS clubs. That's the rumor I've heard, but I don't know if that's true.
He's really good at stopping the ball.
Oh, yeah. Just like he's got a magnet. Just comes right in.
Yep.
So, Matt, the last one before we get on to a few other things is someone took umbrage with us saying that the Patriots' Super Bowl victory was the best comeback ever.
Just laying out the facts.
So, Jeremy Ashton, via email, and you can email us at riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. That's one word, riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. Jeremy says, what about the 1980 Holiday Bowl, a.k.a. the Miracle Bowl? BYU was down 20 with just 4 minutes and came back to win the game. When taking the magnitude of the game into account, the Patriots' comeback in the recent Super Bowl was probably more impressive. But just from a pure comeback perspective, BYU's has to be better. You guys continue to be great, by the way. Matt, I was just really talking about the NFL and specifically the playoffs. I wasn't really talking about all of sports dumb. What about you?
Oh, I was talking in all of human history.
Ah, okay. All right. You were going a little farther than me, but that's okay. You can have that opinion. That's all right.
Yeah. Greatest comeback in all of human history.
It may be, just because of the magnitude, right?
Well, I like how Jeremy here says that it's probably more impressive. Like, he's not quite willing to relinquish that spot to the Patriots, right? I mean, he really wants to reserve it for the 1980 Holiday Bowl. But if you take into account the magnitude of the game, there's no question that the Patriots' comeback is more impressive. However, I will give you this. BYU being down by 20 points with less than 4 minutes to go, if you look at the probability of winning the game at that point versus the Patriots, what were they down, 28-3 in the third quarter?
Actually, I think if you look at the probability of the Patriots was lower because it's the NFL.
That's an interesting point. I hadn't thought about that.
Forget about the magnitude of the game. The NFL, any major sport, a lead gets harder and harder, right? Like, college hockey, you're up 3-0. Comebacks like that are rare, but not as rare as in the pros when you're up 3-0, right? Skill level's different. Now, this is not taking away from the Miracle Bowl, which is one of the greatest games ever, right?
One of the greatest football games of all time.
Yeah, and is, you know,
often in all of human history.
Still makes the list often when people talk about some of the greatest bowl games of all time or NCAA games of all time. You know what I mean? Like, it makes that list. Anyway, that's it. That's it. But point taken, Jeremy, and we appreciate your perspective, even if it's wrong. See how I did? I kind of soften it.
That's because we do like a little bit of healthy discourse.
We do.
On the show.
We do. We do like
as long as in the end everyone just agrees that I'm right.
No, I'm pretty sure that's not how it works. That's not how it works.
Come again.
So Matt, let's go now to the CougarFan.com. Cougars in the news.
Cougars in the news.
Get all of your BYU sports news at CougarFan.com. Matt, the BYU men's volleyball team. Earlier this evening, we are breaking news, Matt, on this podcast.
We're breaking it, all right.
Earlier today, BYU swept Barton. They will play Long Beach State on Thursday in the semifinals, and they will play the winner of Ohio State and Hawaii. Hawaii beat Penn State earlier this evening as well. And, of course, Hawaii is the team that knocked them out of the MPSF tournament. And I thought, honestly, had knocked them out of the NCAA tournament. But they didn't. Three MPSF schools made it to the tournament. Hawaii, BYU, and then Long Beach State, who they're playing, BYU's playing. And then the championship game is May 6th at 7 p.m. I think that's Eastern time. On ESPNU. So Matt, what do you think? I mean, swept Barton, Long Beach State, who they split two matches with in Provo. What kind of percent chance should you give BYU of playing for the championship?
I think it's got to be greater than 50.
I think it's like
65 or 70.
Nah, I think it's like at 50.
Really?
Long Beach State's good. Long Beach State's good. But it could be higher than that. It could be higher than that. I don't know. It'll be fascinating. And if they make the championship, I like their chances against Ohio State or Hawaii. I think the winner of the BYU Long Beach State, I'm predicting that now, wins the whole thing. That's my prediction. Bold prediction.
That is a bold prediction, my friend.
I am filled with bold predictions.
You are bold. Yes. I don't know why I was going to – I had a pun going, and it fell apart.
Didn't work.
The wheels came off.
So, Matt, a couple of things before we go to the NFL draft. My other podcast, which is also part of the Deseret News Podcast Network, where you can find this, the Rising Shop podcast, and my other podcast, Bleep the Podcast. You can find that at DeseretNews.com/podcast. Of course, you can also subscribe to both shows on iTunes or your favorite – or Google Play or your favorite different podcast apps. Bleep now has 4 episodes, including one on Star Trek. If you're going to do a geek podcast, Matt, you got to talk about Star Trek. It's a given. You have to do it.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised it's taking you this long.
To the 4th episode, yeah.
There's just so much geekiness for you to get through, though. I mean, you are just dripping with geekiness.
Yes, I am. I am dripping with it. So, as Justin Sweeney pointed out on Twitter the other day, it won't be as bad as me dripping with sweat when I was in Orlando recording in the hotel room with the AC off, which was not pleasant. But luckily, the AC came back on quite quickly. Matt, my next book comes out a week from yesterday, May 8th.
Wow.
You can buy Caliban's World on Amazon, exclusively available on Amazon as an ebook. Paperback will be coming out later this summer. You can pre-order it now, and you can also pre-order the 2 sequels to it. The first 3 books will be out within a few weeks of each other, so you can check that out. And then the last piece, Matt, is summer topics. So we got some already, and I'm just going to throw out some of the ones that we've gotten. So we'll do summer shows that are like themed. We did this last summer. You guys give us a topic and we build a whole show around it. We had a lot of cool shows last year. Some ideas so far are a time machine. That's from Justin Whiting. So we would go back in time at pick games or events in BYU history that you could go back and change. That's a whole episode right there.
Oh, yeah, that's...
I'm just saying.
You could probably do a couple episodes around that.
Yes. Another one from... I don't have who had this one, but go through all of the opponents. Like, and I think that's not an episode. That's something we could do all summer. Just go through each opponent a week or something. I like that idea. I like that idea a lot. And then Jeremy, the aforementioned Jeremy... Ashton said this. He wants us to draft all Marvel Cinematic Universe movies. He wants an episode talking about why I hate Stanford and San Diego State. And he says, I believe UC Berkeley is also on this list. That is correct, Jeremy.
That is correct.
Cal is also on that list. And
is Long Beach State on the list?
No, not at all. Nothing against Long Beach State. Or most California schools. There are a lot of them. I mean, people think I have something against California schools, but there's like 80 or 100 or 200 or 500. I don't know what the number is.
5,000. I don't know.
California schools. So I like a lot of them. I'm not anti-St. Mary's. I'm not anti-San Diego. Just San Diego State. I'm not anti-UCLA or USC. So... I don't know if we'll do a whole episode on that. I don't know if that would actually be that interesting.
What about Golden State? Are you anti-Golden State?
No, I love Golden State.
Okay.
I love
Stephen. I just can't figure out why they're letting a college team compete in the NBA.
Yeah, it's strange. One thing I think we're going to do, Matt, is Jeremy mentions realistic expectations for BYU fans for football and basketball. I think doing and we'll get into this a little bit later, maybe, in this episode. I think doing like a 5-year projection of where we think the programs will be in 5 years, I think that might be a fun episode.
Yeah, but there's no such thing as realistic expectations.
True. That's true. All right, Matt, it's time for the NFL draft. With the first pick in the NFL draft.
Ooh, sit down, Goodell.
The Cleveland Browns. Like,
sit down.
So Matt
Goodell,
isn't it time? Isn't it time?
Logan Roll!
Oh, shut up already. You sit down. Sit down, Matt. Isn't it time?
Down front, Goodell!
Okay, stop.
All right, I'll stop.
You're done. So isn't it time that he stopped announcing the draft?
Yes.
Because so every clip now of top draft choices being selected, all you've got is booing in the background. It's time for somebody else to do it. It's just like it's a terrible deal that he's still doing. I just don't understand isn't somebody pulling him aside, why don't we have next year have 10 NFL greats announce the first top 10 picks?
Perfect.
You fly in Montana. You fly in, Tony Dorsett.
And you don't do it in Philadelphia where they will boo all of those guys.
No, Philadelphia was a terrible decision.
Awful. It's the terrible venue was bad. You're out on these dirty steps.
Do a destination, okay?
Philadelphia.
Do a destination. Yeah, they are terrible. I was fine with it being in New York. New York's a cool destination.
Chicago, do Chicago.
You could do Chicago. You could do, one of the cool Florida cities. Wait a second, is there one?
I
can't remember. San Diego, Vegas. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of things you could do with the draft. We'll get into that in a minute as well. But it's time for him to stop calling the picks. So, Matt. Jamal Williams drafted in the fourth round by the Green Bay Packers on that our 0 to Detmer scale. Well, Detmer is the best and 0 is, of course, 0. How good of a fit is Jamal for the Green Bay Packers and what they do?
I think it's I've got my BYU blue glasses on, but I'm going Detmer.
Yeah, I think you're a little too high, but I think Sarkisian, I think he's a Sarkisian-level fit. And the nice thing is, he could be the number one back in the first game.
Yeah.
A lot of things can happen, so I'm not saying he will be, but, there's a lot of places where he could have been drafted that he would not have been. He would not have been in the had any possibility of being that guy week one. He could in Green Bay. They're kind of clearing out the backfield due to some injuries and history and different things, and they're trying to do something a little different. So interesting for sure. So Matt, What's realistic expectations for Jamal Williams in year one?
See, we've talked about this before, and I
now
I don't
that
know
we
that
know where he's going.
Well, I think that he I believe they're going to end up running the ball by committee. So I don't think he breaks 1,000 yards. But by the end of the season, could I see him becoming the feature back there? Yes, but I don't know that it's going to be that way all season.
Right. Right.
Talked about this a minute ago. They had some injuries. They ended up relying on – they basically put a wide receiver in the backfield by the end of the season.
Yeah.
So they picked up a couple of guys that are young, and they're just going to kind of feel it out and see what they've got. But I don't know that they're going to lock into anybody for the first few weeks of the season.
Yeah, yeah. It's hard to know, right? They did draft another running back, so there is there is some of that. I think Devontae Mays, right, was the other guy they drafted. Or did they draft two? Aaron Jones but right now on the depth chart, I think Williams is second behind Ty Montgomery today, right? Today.
Right.
I don't think that is a... I think he's number one on the depth chart. I think Montgomery is not, or like you said, it's a committee, right?
Yeah, this was their second pick that they spent on him, right? So I think they feel pretty good about Jamal. I don't know that I'd, read too deep into, they picked up another guy, right? But they clearly think that Jamal's the guy.
Yeah, yeah. They yes, yes, they clearly think Jamal's the guy. And we're probably happy to be able to pick him up, in the fourth round, right?
Yeah.
They didn't have a ton of picks, and so this was something that I think was a big deal for them, and they needed to address defense in the first few rounds of the draft, right? So, and Vince Beagle, was one of the people they selected. So whatever that's worth.
That's crazy. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that is kind of crazy.
I thought that was pretty crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Love Vince Beagle. So, Matt, we'll get back to Jamal on the Packers as the summer progresses, and certainly we'll be following that one very closely. Staying close to Green Bay, it's Taysom Hill was signed a free agent deal with the Green Bay Packers. And by all indications, it is as a quarterback.
That's crazy.
So let me paint something here for you. Who are the quarterbacks on the roster right now for the Green Bay Packers?
Other than Aaron Rodgers.
Brett Hundley, former UCLA Bruin. Been in the NFL for a couple years. I don't believe he's thrown any passes. And then they also have on their depth chart Joe Callahan.
Joe Callahan.
I believe he is related to the Callahan Auto Parts out of Sandusky, Ohio.
Is that actually true?
No, that doesn't exist. That's from Tommy Boy.
That'd be crazy.
He played for Wesley. So anyway, Matt, is this crazy to think that he makes the practice squad at least?
No, it's not crazy at all, actually. What's really crazy about it, right? Is if you look at these guys, I don't know that that Hundley or Callahan offer the type of skill set that Taysom Hill is bringing to the table. So if this is a team that's looking for a guy that they can use as a change of pace guy, or or maybe it's just a practice squad thing, I don't know. But they don't have, he's much different than what they have on their roster.
Yeah, yeah, he is very different. And again, we'll see. It doesn't guarantee anything just because they don't have two studs behind Aaron Rodgers, because there's a lot of wisdom in not getting other studs, right? Spending your draft picks or your resources when you've got Aaron Rodgers, because if he goes down, you're hosed, right?
Well, so, yeah, and they spent a fifth-round pick on Hundley last year, right? So
right.
They're not going to go out and draft another quarterback just a year later unless they feel like Hundley is, not going to fill the whatever role they had in mind when they brought him on.
Yeah, and I think it was 2 years ago, right, with Hundley?
2015 draft, yeah, so yeah, 2 years.
So 2 years. But like you said, I mean, he was a guy they liked and, is the backup. So we'll follow that one closely as well. It'll be interesting to see how that one goes. Matt, the one that came as a little bit of a surprise, only not the destination, but I really thought he was going to be drafted, was Harvey Longy. So he is signed a free agent deal, shocker, with the New England Patriots, where he had been basically rumored to be going there from the beginning. So interestingly enough, do you know who also, and they're talking about him and all the Patriots stuff, and if you read the beat writers and stuff on the Patriots, it's almost like a given that he makes the team. Like, they're just acting like he'll make the team and that he'll be linebacker depth behind one Kyle Van Hoy.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
One of the things they're citing on Nesson.com anyway is the amount of money that the Patriots are spending on him.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's for a guy that's, an undrafted free agent guy who, you're thinking is maybe a practice squad type of player. He's killing it.
Yeah. No, I he is, I, quite frankly, because, you know, they didn't have some picks late, the Patriots didn't. I think they're just sitting there hoping that he's around, I was a little surprised he made it. I thought with all the noise around him and his pro day, I thought somebody in those late rounds is going to pick him up, if nothing else than to just mess with the Pats. Right? Because that's how much some of these other teams hate the Patriots. So I honestly, I was just a little surprised. I thought he would go, but this is great. He ended up getting good money. He ended up getting in a situation where they clearly value his versatility and what he brings. And I feel very, very good about him being on the week one roster for the Patriots.
Oh, I think he's on. I think he makes it. I mean, they're paying him in guaranteed money four times as much as any other undrafted free agent that they picked up.
Yeah.
They picked up six guys, and they're paying him almost four times as much money as the next guy.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing. So, but it'll be good for Harvey Longy. That's another one where we'll be watching. I don't know that he plays a lot in 2017 for the Patriots, but he'll play special teams, and I bet you if injury happens, he could be playing a lot.
Well, and I guess they may have paid one other guy that kind of money, but still, I mean, it'd be great to see. I think it's the right fit. It's the right place for him to go. You couldn't have a better situation for Longy right now.
No, I think it's fantastic. So Matt, the other signees, and we're just going to go through this quickly, is Cy Tautu signed with the New Orleans Saints. Algie Brown signed with the Seattle Seahawks. Kai Nakua signed with the Cleveland Browns. And Michael Davis signed with, and it is still weird to say, it feels like I'm in a time machine, with the Los Angeles Chargers.
And that's weird.
And then Andrew Eady, who I thought at one point might have a chance to be drafted, but obviously I was way off, he accepted a mini camp invite from the San Francisco 49ers. And Nick Kurtz got a mini camp invite from the the Oakland Raiders. Anyway, and then Brad Wilcox, who is, of course, graduated a few years ago. He got, not graduated, but left the team a few years ago, got a mini-camp invite with the New Orleans Saints. Anyway, that's the news. So let's go back to the tweet bag, Matt.
Tweet bag.
So we have a first-time tweet bagger.
Wow.
And you can join the conversation at BYU_RiseShout on Twitter if you'd like, or Facebook, facebook.com/RiseAndShout. Jared Runesville, that's at J Runesville on Twitter, says, which BYU undrafted free agent most likely to stick on an NFL team? Matt, I'm going to take Longy out, okay? I'm going to take him out because that's easy. He is the most likely, I believe. And I'm also going to take Taysom Hill out.
You're killing me, Smalls.
So the question is, I'm going to modify his question. Out of Tautu, Algie Brown, Kai Nakua, and Michael Davis, out of those four guys, which one do you think is most likely to end up on an NFL roster come week one? Not practice squad, actual roster.
Did you just say practice squab?
Nope, I did not say
that. Is that what you said? I think that's what you said.
I think your ears aren't working.
I think you did.
Why would I say practice squad?
I think you said squad. I don't know.
Just can you answer the same
reason?
Question?
Is the same reason you say rivalry week?
Rivalry week is what it is. So, what do you got? Tautu, Algie, Kai, or Davis?
You know I'm stalling, right?
I know
you took
stalling.
Away all the guys that you took away anybody that I would have picked.
I'm making this a difficult question. Longy is the easy answer, right? He's going to stick. He should have been drafted. I think NFL teams made a mistake, and that'll be his career will show that. But out of that four, come on, buddy.
I want to say Kai Nakua.
I would also say Kai Nakua. I think he could stick. I think he could stick. A Tautu would not shock me. With the Saints, Algie Brown with the Seahawks. That one would surprise me a little bit. It's hard to project some of these things because injuries, performance in training camp, other things. But I mean, they've got a fair amount of running backs, two of whom they drafted last year. You know, they got Rawls and two guys they drafted last year, and a guy named Eddie Lacy that they just picked up. I mean, they got a bunch of running backs in Seattle, so I think he'll be one of like 15 running backs in camp or something crazy. So, but I like Kainakua. I don't know about the fit. I don't know about the fit with the Browns or not, just because I don't know enough about the Browns. They're terrible. So,
well, see, that's the thing, right? When you know that the Browns need some help.
Yes.
Right? Yes. And so you look at some of the places where some of these other guys signed, and you look at, you know, the Browns. I mean, they need help. They need help all over the place, right?
Yeah, they got five safeties on the roster, and they signed Jabril Peppers, which I think he's going to – I think he ends up playing linebacker, right?
If he ends up playing.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, he may not play in 2017.
Well, he may not play in 2017. Fair enough, but he'll play. I'm looking at their depth chart thinking,
yeah, but who, myself, yeah, who are these guys?
None of them are none of them do I go, wow, you know? There's no way he could pass that guy.
Right.
And you don't have to be the top on the depth chart, as Daniel Sorensen has proven, to play and be a factor on a team.
And that, I think, is the perfect example when you're looking at Kainakua's situation. Is Sorensen, it was a combination of things, right? It was a combination of his skills and the effort and the work that he put in and the context of where he was.
Right.
And those things lined up very, very well, and he capitalized on that situation like a boss, right? So, yeah. And I think that you could see a similar situation unfold here for Kainakua. You look at this depth chart and you think, there could be an opportunity here. And for a team that's just looking for answers, you know, I mean, they're a little bit of a mess, right? Yeah. I mean, Brock Osweiler is listed here as their third string quarterback. Right, I mean, they're just confused all over the place. And
wait a second. So, Osweiler is listed as their third string?
Yeah.
Boy.
Well, their website doesn't have a
No, I'm looking at, you're looking at, NFL that ourlads.com.
I'm looking at ourlads.com. Yeah, but they don't like Osweiler. They don't. They already don't like him. I mean, it's a
no. They almost,
that's just a crazy situation.
There was huge rumors they were going to use Trubisky, or whatever his name is, the first pick on him, which would have been insane and very Cleveland like thing to do, actually. You know, but right now, I mean, their quarterback situation is a mess, and they did draft Deshaun Kizer, who actually, not a terrible second round flyer, honestly.
I don't know.
And they got Miles, who's terrific. So, they actually had a pretty decent draft, which is Cleveland-like. But anyway, as far as Michael Davis goes with Los Angeles, again, I don't know enough about some of the players on that roster to know if he's got a good shot here or not. They have several corners in camp. They didn't draft any. They've got Jason Verrett on one side, who was obviously a former first rounder and a good player. But outside of that, I look at this group and it's not saying he couldn't. But on the flip side, I'm not going to bet on him making the opening day roster.
Yeah, that's a different kind of a spot.
Yeah, Yeah. So anyway, Matt, let's see. As far as the before we get off the draft here, so let's step back from these players and had a few other tweet bag questions. All right. On Facebook, and that's facebook.com/riseandshout, Andre Hutchins asks, what is a realistic expectations? What is a realistic expectations? Andre, I'm going to have to correct your grammar. What are realistic expectations for BYU players getting drafted year in and year out? Hey, you're the one that like doesn't like Andre and has thrown down the gauntlet several times with him. So, I mean, it's very – what I'm doing is mild.
Don't come at me with that. Andre clearly started this beef. All right.
So anyway, what are the realistic expectations for BYU players getting drafted year in and year out with Satake as the head coach? 3, 4? Is that too high? I think 3 should be the norm. 1 O-lineman, 1 D-lineman, and 1 skills player. I don't think this is unrealistic. Matt, is Andre's expectation of 3 BYU Cougars drafted a year unrealistic?
3 may be too high. 4 is definitely too high. I think, you know, you're probably in more like the range of 2, in my opinion. You're not going to get a skills player every single year out of BYU that's going to get drafted into the NFL. Sorry. I just don't think we have – that's just not – so what Satake's going to do, he's going to bring in some talent that might be better than talent we've seen in the past. But his bread and butter is going to be not bringing in guys that are this notch ahead. He's going to bring in these guys and getting more out of them, right? And so, and that's not going to, that may not translate into draft picks. And I don't know that, I don't think that's a good metric for the success of a program anyway, and I know that's not his question here. But 1 or 2 players a year, I think, is a realistic expectation. You look at what he's trying to do, I think we're going to see more large linemen, guys with NFL size come through the program, so we could probably expect to put 1 or 2 of those up there a year, and then the occasional skill player. You know, maybe every few quarterbacks you might get one. But 3 and 4 in that range is, I think that's probably too high.
So, Matt, quick trivia question. When was the last time BYU had that many players drafted in one NFL draft? 3 players.
I don't know the answer to that.
I believe, if I'm doing my math right, it was 2005. And that was Brady Papinga in the 4th round to the Packers, Scott Young in the 5th round to the Eagles, and Sean Nua in the 7th round to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Okay. Before that, there was the 2002 draft, which had, what, like 5 Cougars picked? Jolly, Denny, Doman, Staley. Brandon Doman was drafted. I knew that, but it was like going back through this was interesting. Brett Kiesel, who ended up, of course, being a 7th round draft pick and having a long NFL career. I think a 3 is not unrealistic, but I don't – 4 is unrealistic a year. I don't think it's likely. BYU has had handfuls of years in their history with that many players drafted in a year. Obviously, you know, 98, 99, back-to-back years of 3 players drafted. You know, 95, they had 5 players drafted. You know, go back to the 80s, there were some big years as well. You know, 86, I think they had like 8 or 9 players drafted that year. Of course, the draft was 12 rounds back then, so it's not really a good comparison. But I think two is realistic a year. I think that's the right number going forward. That's where we should be at. But to be fair, we haven't been there since 2010, right? So,
right.
But we haven't really been consistently doing that. Any other comments on that before we move on to the next one?
No.
All right. James Lowe on Facebook asks, because everyone likes to look to the future, who do you see getting drafted this time next year? Okay. So let's talk about that, Matt. Who is the most likely to get drafted in the 2018 NFL draft as far as BYU is concerned?
You're not going to like it, But I think it's Tanner Mangum.
I don't like it, and I think you're right.
Yeah, if I were to list the number one most likely, that's where I'd go. You know, when you get past that, you know, there's probably a handful of guys you could argue is the second most. But I think that's where we're headed, kids.
Well, if you're looking at seniors, right? So step away from Tanner for a minute. Assuming he has a tremendous year, I think you are absolutely correct. Is that he could have that happen, right? Okay. So if you look at the seniors, okay. I'm looking at that list and I'm going Micah Hanneman. Caroma might be of the seniors the one most likely to get drafted. Fred Warner, I think, has depending on how this season goes, could be one as well. Tooney Kanuch could be one. I think next year, quite frankly, especially if Tanner comes out, I think you end up getting 2 to 3 drafted. You could, I should say. I'm not predicting that. Who besides Tanner do you think has a good chance of being drafted?
You know, I would list those same guys that you did, but I think the next guy's probably Caroma.
Yeah, I think it's
And I think Fred Warner's got a good shot, depending on how things go this year. But you know, I'd really, if looking at the seniors, I really think I'd be looking at all those same guys. And then you wonder, you know, about anybody going early. I don't know that we have anybody that in their junior year that we could see going, unless they just had some kind of
Mangum's
crazy,
the only one.
Crazy breakout season, right? I mean. Decided that they were, you know, ready to move on and thought they were just going to take their shot and declare, right?
Man, you look at the juniors, and I don't see anybody in that group outside of Tanner where I would say, yeah, they could. I mean, we don't have guys declare early very often at BYU.
It'd have to be a circumstance where somebody decided they were done.
Yes.
For one reason or another that they were going to go.
Yeah. But looking at that junior group, there are some folks in that group I think could get drafted too. I think Butch Powell could get drafted out of the juniors. So we're talking 2019 NFL draft if we can do that. And why not? Francis Bernard, he really came a long way in his first year as a linebacker.
What about a guy like Lapu'aho?
Lapu'aho, sure. Yeah, absolutely. And total, like, not likely, but would be kind of crazy, is Moroni. MLP.
Really?
Well,
that would be pretty cool.
Think about it. You know, he's athletic. He transforms into a tight end. Who knows if he's going to be successful or not? I think he'll be good. But, you know, he's got height. He's got athleticism. That's kind of what the NFL is going to. If he learns how to block, he could be an NFL tight end. And I mean, I am obviously stepping way out on a limb.
Yeah, we're talking about a draft that's two seasons away.
2 years away, yeah.
I mean, that's just crazy.
Yeah. So anyway, interesting. Interesting question. Thank you for that question, James. And then our brother Don also had a Facebook question and brings in, he's screaming for all of us to get off his lawn. Matt, are you ready?
He's so old.
He says, has the draft become too big and less interesting, or am I just becoming old and grumpy? Matt, has the draft, forget the second part of the question, the answer is yes.
I was going to say, these aren't mutually exclusive.
You're becoming old and grumpy.
All of this can be true.
Yes, but let's focus on the other question. Has the draft become too big and less interesting?
So there's four things really in Don's question, right? Is the draft too big? Is the draft less interesting? Is Don old? Is Don grumpy? Three out of four of those are true.
Yes.
The one that is not true is less interesting. The draft has become too big. They've stretched it out. It's weird. The breakup in the rounds. I don't like it. I don't like it. It's dumb. I don't understand why fans go to the draft. I watch the draft. I watch the draft on TV. It's appointment television for me. I am fascinated by it. But I would, and I travel to a BYU game or two or whatever a year. I will go to games to see my team play. I don't understand the attraction of traveling to the draft or why these
interest.
Guys, when somebody's announced, they're like, yeah, thumping their chest and waving their signs and stuff. I don't understand it at all. But they've turned it into this big marketing thing. People are making money off of it, and that's great. But it has become too big. It's distracting. Top players, you know, a lot of the top players don't even want to go anymore because they have to sit there with cameras on them while they wait to get drafted until the 30th pick or something, and you know. And so people don't want to do that. So it's not any less interesting. It's just that they've made it way too big of a deal.
Who was the guy with the Jack Links? Were you watching? Was that the first round or was that second round? Now I can't remember who it was. I got to look this up. NFL Draft Jack Links, because he had in his camera set up like showing his family room. They had
they had the Sasquatch.
Yeah, but the ESPN guy was calling him Chewbacca.
Yeah.
You know, it's become too big.
It's Charles Harris, the defensive end from Missouri.
Yes, that's who it was. That's who it was. And that was, and Trey Wingo kept calling him Chewbacca.
I wonder if Trey Wingo knew what he was doing.
I think Trey Wingo knew exactly what he was doing and was basically refusing to give in to Jack Link's product placement, which if that's true, it's a little ridiculous because he works for ESPN, who makes money off of advertising.
And I think Jack Links is probably an advertiser on ESPN because I don't watch a lot of TV and I've seen a lot of their commercials.
Yes.
But you know, I think is fascinating about that is that? The players taking advantage. I mean, you think about the easy ones are the players, you know, getting the suits from different places, right? So you knew that what's his face, Bowles from Utah, you know that his suit was a DXL suit, right?
Right.
You know, and they put that thing up on the screen when they were talking to him and all this. And, you know, that was so he clearly like he had reached a deal with those guys. Right. So the suits and the hats and the watches and some of these other things you kind of come to expect. But that type of a product placement, you know, you know, what's next? Right. These guys are going to come out drinking Coke. They're going to come out, you know,
and
be thanking Under Armour.
They can't. They can't come out drinking a Coke. They can wear a suit, whatever they want, but that's why he could do it at home. He couldn't have pulled that Jack Link stunt in Philadelphia.
Well, I think the future of the draft is they'll all be at home.
Yes. I think you are absolutely right. Because Jack Link's got huge press.
And they can totally control the exposure. The agent can control it. So if they're sitting there sweating the fact that they thought they were going to go in the top five and then they don't go till 15 and they're rubbing their eyes, trying to figure out what's going on, nervously answering the phone, that highlight doesn't get played over and over again on TV for the next 6 months.
Yeah.
Right? You can control all of the environment and you can sell pieces of it.
Yeah.
It's a no-brainer. I mean, I wouldn't put – if I were an agent for the number one draft – I know you want that picture, but like you said before, they're already ruining that moment with the Roger Goodell booze.
Yeah.
You know, you might as well, you know, throw up your NFLPA thing in the background or your, you know, or your Sprite sign in the background and have the Sasquatch sit next to you and,
yeah,
you know, you do the whole thing. You know, you got Captain Obvious patting you on the back when you get picked. I mean, it's endless and it's easy.
Well, my question will be, if the networks aren't cut in on it, do they do they even show it? It'll be interesting. The whole thing is fascinating, but anyway.
Yeah, but if they stop showing it, would you still watch? It totally changes the coverage, I think.
Oh, you've got to show them, right? I mean,
you have to.
Showing the people celebrating with their families is part of the... I mean, I know it seems the same every time, but it's interesting. So anyway, Matt, that's the NFL draft. We wish they'd go back to doing it just on one day, or even over 2 days. The three-day thing is like, you know...
I can't watch all of that. I can't do it.
No.
I would like to sit and watch it. I would sit on a Saturday.
You and I did. The whole thing. We would text back and forth all day.
But with this, I mean, I couldn't do that.
I didn't even watch the first round because of other stuff going on Thursday night with the kids.
See, I was traveling and I got home like 10 or 11 picks in. I got into my car, I think on the fifth pick, and I listened to it on the radio until I got home. But
right,
you know. Anyway, it was. By the way, the draft on the radio is not nearly as interesting.
Not nearly as interesting.
And I was picking up on ESPN radio out of New Orleans because I just flown into the airport, and they were at a New Orleans Saints draft watch party, so all they were talking about were what the Saints were going to do with their next pick,
right,
in between each of the picks, which wasn't as interesting as when you watch it on ESPN and you kind of get to run the gamut of teams and players.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we got about 10 minutes left, so let's talk basketball for the last 10 minutes. Matt, Gary Payne has another tweet bag question for us.
Becoming quite the prolific tweet bagger.
That's right, he is. He says, where does Eric Mika appear on mock NBA drafts? Or do you still think it doesn't matter at this point? I think it does matter, and he doesn't. I don't know that it means he won't be drafted because we're still early. And there's still, you know, and most of the draft projections are not, at this point, based on what reporters think teams think. It's just what reporters and scouts think. Mika did show up on CBSSports.com's ranking their top 75 prospects for the draft. And he was ranked 75th, which means if it went the order that CBS thinks, which of course it won't, he would not be drafted because there's, 60 total picks in the draft? Am I getting that right? So at this point, Matt, there is no buzz that I can find anywhere about Mika being drafted.
Yeah, and I think that's what he was trying to find out, right?
There's none. Does that mean there won't be between now and the draft? No, because... Again, like I said, with the NBA playoffs going on right now, very hard probably for reporters or anybody else to get good information out of the playoff teams as to what players they might be looking at, right? So again, it's early. So anyway, that's the answer to Gary's question is no, they are not. he's not on a bunch of mock drafts at the moment.
Which is too bad for him, but good for BYU Hoops.
Yes. And as I said, like this could mean something, it could mean nothing, we'll find out. Matt, Ates, Bayo, Gwen, and Kafusi are officially gone according to the BYU website. We talked about this last week. It was kind of a foregone conclusion. So the roster is starting to take shape a little bit. A 3-star guard out of Las Vegas, Jarrell Springer, visited or will be visiting, I think, this week, according to VanquishTheFoe.com. So there are some things happening in the roster. Obviously, there are spots available. And between now and probably, you know, mid-May, we're going to have an answer, right, as to what that looks like. But Matt, as I look at the possibilities, this guy Springer and others. So Matt, is there anybody that we're talking about? Anybody that, you know, the Springer guy or others that you think is going to be a big part of that team next year? Or are we really? or is he going to be filling the roster with these last few spots? Is it going to be somebody that's more long-term?
You know, I don't know that they're going to fill in, but I think that we're looking at the same feature guys next year that we had this year. I think key is, you know, are we getting anybody in here that's going to fill any depth? You know, and you'll be able to come in. I don't know that I see anything in here that's making me feel any better about the situation than I was at the end of last season.
Yeah. Yeah. The Jarrell Springer, the one I talked about before, I mean, he's 6'6" guard. You know, we're going to have some length on the perimeter between Seljaas, Bergeson, and Springer, who are all 6'6" or taller and all wing players. So, I think there is a definite – I think we're seeing if Springer does come and say he signs, you're going to see that there's going to be some defensive players on the wings, unlike maybe what we had this last year. So anyway, and Springer's interesting because he was a 3-star talent, tried to transfer high schools, and then – was not allowed to and lost his eligibility and did not play last year, this past season. So it kind of an interesting guy that fell off radars and, you know, again, I don't know if he's a 3-star recruit. So people think he's pretty decent. You know, if he is a defensive player, maybe he's an impact guy next year. I don't know. We'll see. As far as everything else goes on basketball, Matt, the only other thing is VanquishTheFoe.com. I guess this was announced like months ago, but I don't remember seeing it. The BYU will be part of the Barclays Center Classic with UMass and Alabama on Thanksgiving weekend. So
that's pretty cool, and it's in a cool place. I mean, that's you know, if you're looking to travel somewhere, for Thanksgiving, that's a cool place to go.
Yeah, so fourth team apparently has not been announced. Obviously, Alabama and UMass are not coming off stellar seasons themselves. So it's not going to be a group of powerhouses unless they add somebody else there, you know, among there. So anyway, anything else, Matt, on this basketball roster stuff?
No, I think we've pretty much covered it. I mean, it's kind of a, you know, I mean, the jury's going to be out for a while, I think, on these.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, it is, it'll be interesting, Matt, to see what comes on, from there. So anything, well, Matt, we'll be off next week. We've got other things going on, so we'll be off, but we'll be back in 2 weeks and probably start some of our just summer stuff. If you've got ideas for summer episodes, send them our way via Twitter, via Facebook, via email. We'd love to hear from you on that. And Matt, we're excited to be part of the Deseret News podcast network. So check out our podcast, my other podcast, Bleep, as well as others at deseretnews.com/podcasts. Thanks, everybody, for downloading and listening. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, and we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars!
You have to learn to pace yourself. Pressure, you're just like everybody.